everything the Lord has said. So Moses brought their answer back to the Lord. The Lord said to Moses, I'm going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you and will always put their trust in you. Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said. And the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and be ready by the third day. Because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all people. Put limits for the people around the mountain and tell them, be careful that you do not approach the mountain or touch the foot of it. Whoever touches the mountain is to be put to death. They are to be stoned or shot with arrows. Not a hand is to be laid on them. No person or animal shall be permitted to live. Only when the ram's horn sounds a long blast may they approach the mountain. After Moses had gone down the mountain to the people, he consecrated them, and they washed their clothes. Then he said to the people, prepare yourselves for the third day. Abstain from sexual relations. On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, with a thick cloud over the mountain, and a very loud trumpet blast. Everyone in the camp trembled. Then Moses led the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from furnaces, and the whole mountain trembled violently. As the sound of the trumpets grew louder and louder, Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered him. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. So Moses went up, and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord, and many of them perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them. Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us. Put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. The Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come to the Lord, or he will break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. Thanks.
Thanks for that, Shanae. And good morning, Pathway. My name is Ryan. And for the next little while, we're going to chat about this little bit of the Bible. Actually, it was quite a large bit of the Bible that Shanae just read to us. And as Mike said earlier, as a church, we've just kicked off a little series on Exodus. And as you might expect, we're doing things a bit weirdly. We're not starting at the beginning of the book of Exodus. We're starting at right here, chapter 19, to be in line with where our Pathway kids are at. So Pathway kids are at the back. They're learning about the same stuff we are right now. And for the next little while, we'll be following along as a whole church. So the purpose of this is to have a season that as a church, we're all talking about the same thing. What our Pathway kids learn, we also learn. And this is especially helpful for our families here. Parents around the dinner table, we can talk about this stuff. You're both hearing the same stuff. Not to mention, the book of Exodus is just awesome. There is so much good stuff in Exodus. In fact, there is so much good stuff in this passage alone. We could talk about it for a long time, but we're actually going to do it over two Sundays. So this week, we're going to really dig into the character of Moses, who he is, why he matters to us, even today, thousands and thousands of years later. And then next week, Andy is going to lead us on an expedition of the mountain. What's with all the thunder, the fire, the smoke? Why is the mountain so off limits? Why is there so much fuss about who can or can't go on it, and the consequences of doing so are huge? So Andy will lead us a little bit more into that side of things and more next Sunday. Today, though, as I said, we're going to just explore this character of Moses. Get to know Moses. So this dude called Moses is a major part in the book of Exodus. He's a major part of the text that we just read, too. In fact, his name's mentioned just 12 times in this passage alone. Every second verse or so, it's Moses this, Moses that. Moses said this. The Lord said to Moses, 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 Moses. His character is critical in the story of Exodus. He is the leader and God's chosen man to do the job. But why does some old dude who had a cool staff that could do incredible things, if you know the story, who lived ages ago, who led a bunch of people out of Egypt and into the wilderness and eventually into the promised land, why does this story, why does the character of Moses matter today? That's what we're hoping to explore. What I'm hoping we're going to explore and answer this morning. But before we fully launch in, please allow me to stop and ask God to help us this morning. Let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity we have today to explore this story in the Bible. May we soak it in. May you help us understand and appreciate you more because of what happens here this morning. God, you are who we seek. You are who we long for. You are worth all of our attention. Help us give it to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Cool. So, it's worth us taking a real quick crash course on this guy called Moses. Now, I suspect most of you or a lot of you do know a little bit of Moses' story, but allow me to recap real quick now. It's hard to say with absolute accuracy, but about 1500 years BC, a nation called Israel had been enslaved in Egypt. Unfortunately for them, this period of slavery lasted about 400 years, give or take a few decades. Again, details are a little foggy. Pharaoh, who's the leader of Egypt at the time, he was harsh and cruel, and he worked these people hard and to do a bit of population control to prevent this slave nation overruling his own, he ordered that all the newborn baby boys be killed. It's horrible stuff. Anyway, Moses was meant to be one of these babies, right? He was meant to be killed, but instead, his mother hid him for as long as she could until she could hide him no longer. She had to take drastic measures, so she put him in a basket and floated him off down the river. She couldn't keep him hidden anymore. The child, Moses, was destined to die. I guess she thought, at least this way, there's some chance of surviving. Who knows? Desperate. Anyway, Moses floats down the river and is discovered by none other than Pharaoh's daughter. She took pity on him and took her in as her own son. It was actually her that named him Moses. And Moses grows up surrounded by royalty and lives a life of privilege. Now let's fast forward a few years. Moses is a grown man and he gets himself into a little bit of trouble because he kind of kills an Egyptian. Whoops. This Egyptian was beating up a slave. Moses didn't like it. So Moses killed this guy and Pharaoh was not happy, as you can imagine. And he sought to actually have Moses killed for this. So Moses, what did he do? He ran for it. He flees Egypt and ends up in a place called Midian. While in Midian, thanks to his bravery and a little bit of help at a well, he lands himself a wife. He sets himself up there. All the while, his people back in Egypt suffered and groaned under the weight of slavery. And one day, Moses is out doing his thing, you know, leading his sheep about, when he sees something rather odd. A burning bush. This is not just some bush that just happened to catch fire. It's not a normal fire. The fire does not consume the bush. Needless to say, Moses goes in to investigate. And God speaks to him from that bush and instructs Moses to return to Egypt to free the slaves. Moses, I think like all of us, he tried to weasel his way out of this. But God eventually gets Moses to comply. So off to Egypt Moses goes. With a very bizarre story on the way, which I'm going to skip right on past for now. If you want to know what I'm talking about, check out Exodus chapter 4, particularly verses 24 and 26. You'll be like, what, if you read it. So I'm going to leave it like that, just so you go and investigate. And if you want to know more, there is a sermon on our website which was tackled this exact passage a few years ago, so you can dig through the archives and have some teaching there. So anyway, that's fun. So anyway, Moses goes back to Egypt, weird story, back in Egypt, and says, free the slaves. Pharaoh is not interested in losing his slaves. So he tells Moses, no way. And this is where the famous part of the plagues of Egypt, the 10 plagues, blood, frogs, gnats, flies, death of livestock, boils, hail, locusts, darkness, and the one that finally broke Pharaoh was the death of all the firstborns in Egypt. Then during all this, or towards the end of all this, there's some really important things that happen with a thing called Passover. Following God's instructions, the Israelite people did not lose all their firstborn sons in the final plague like the Egyptians did. Anyway, a lot can be said on this. I'm trying to keep it brief. We have a crash course. Once Pharaoh sees the devastation and all the death around him, all his people, right, lost all their firstborn sons and all the firstborn of their livestock. Once Pharaoh sees all this, he's like, I've had enough, and releases the Israelite people from slavery. And Moses leads the entire nation out of Egypt and on a quest to find this new land promised to them. They kind of casually cross the Red Sea because God parts the waters for them, all the while drowning the Egyptian army behind them, that is in hot pursuit because Pharaoh kind of changed his mind. And they are finally free from Egypt. The story that we read this morning, it picks up not long after all this took place, right? In second place to God, Moses is a big deal in the story of the Exodus. He's chosen by God, he's used by God, he's led by God to lead God's people out of slavery and into a new land. So now Moses has led the people right where God said he would. Way back when, Moses had a chat with that burning bush. Moses has come full circle, and God's promise to Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, is now fulfilled. When God and Moses were chatting at the burning bush, right, God said to Moses that he would be with him. And as a sign, Moses would actually lead the people right back to where it began, on Mount Sinai. So after all this time, after all these crazy events, the plagues, the Red Sea, the drowning of the Egyptian army, God has come through, and here is Moses, once again at the foot of the mountain where he encountered the burning bush all those years before. Only behind him, this time, is a multitude of people, his people, the newly released slaves. They all stand behind him. Now that's a brief-ish summary of Moses up until this point. At least it's as brief as I can manage anyway. Why did we do all this? Because there's some really incredible things that we can observe from this guy called Moses. Moses plays a unique role throughout the story of Exodus. He is God's chosen leader. One man selected by God to carry out God's work. One man who speaks to and gives instruction to. Who God speaks to and gives instruction to. One man chosen to lead God's people. And in the passage we read today, we see one man to make a nation of Israel ready for the arrival of the king. Which takes us on to the next thing I think we do well to consider, to understand and be, you know, maybe understand for the first time or be reminded of. And that is to mind the gap. You're like, what? Anyway, I'll get there. Don't bear with me. A sign often seen on train platforms, right? Or heard in some robotic pommy voice at every stop in the London Underground is mind the gap. The gap, of course, is referring to the small space between the moving train and the stationary platform. The gap separates these things. They cannot touch, at least not without disastrous consequences. The gap between the train and the platform is a little bit helpful to me. I hope it is for you. It's a little bit helpful here when understanding the gap between God and man. The gap formed way back in the beginning of time. Mankind chose to reject God, and the perfect relationship between God and man that was once available was lost. The perfect harmonious relationship between God and mankind was no longer. In Isaiah 59 verse 2, it says this, this is the NLT translation, it is your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away. Now, it's hard to overstate just how great the gap, maybe a gap's a terrible word, maybe we'll go with chasm. It's hard to overstate just how great the chasm was between God and man. Sin, humankind's decision to reject God and his perfect plan really messed things up. God is just so holy. He's just so pure, so incredibly powerful and beyond the reach of us, sinful humans. To help us understand the size of the gap between this perfect, holy God and his sinful, broken people, allow me to give a bit of an example. It's not perfect, but bear with me. Imagine trying to meet your favorite celebrity. Stop and think who it is right now. Now think of all the barriers in place. think about their location in the world, their security guards that surround them everywhere they go, their schedules, and not only that, but you're one of the sheer multitudes of people trying to vie for their attention. The celebrity lives in a world vastly different from ours, surrounded by fame and status that make them nearly unreachable. Even with all these obstacles, right, it is still within the realm of possibility, albeit incredibly difficult, that you could actually meet this person, right? Now, consider the gap between us and God. Unlike meeting a celebrity, this gap is infinitely greater. It's not just about status or barriers, it's about the fundamental difference between a holy, perfect God and a sinful, fallen humanity. Our sin creates a chasm so vast that no amount of effort, goodness, or work can bridge it. Meeting a celebrity might seem like a monumental task, but it is nothing compared to the impossibility of reaching God on our own. I think what we do well to realize here today is just how big the chasm is between God and his people. Or as Isaiah put it, the separation or being cut off from God. The gap was huge between his people and Israel. His people, Israel, and himself. On one side, we have the supreme, holy, and mighty, perfect, infinite, pure God of the universe. On the other, we have people, sinful, broken, finite, and weak. The chasm that lays between that perfect God and sinful humankind is simply enormous. Why is it so big? Because of the sheer holiness and splendor of God and the sinful nature of humankind. They are not compatible. They cannot go together. There is a chasm. God is not equal to the Israelites. Not even close. God is so beyond them, so much more powerful, so much more holy, perfect, and so much scarier than anyone could ever imagine. Meanwhile, the Israelite people are tiny. They're weak. And not only that, they're lost. They're in the middle of the desert. The holiness of God and the sinfulness of mankind has created a gap between God, between mankind and a God that is just huge and unbridgeable. What do we see starting to happen, though, in this story in Exodus 19? We see the all-loving, powerful, and pure God beginning to close that gap. Why does he do it? Because God loves his people beyond explanation, and he wants a relationship with them. How does he do it? By coming down to his people, onto that mountain, and by putting a specially chosen man named Moses in a special position. Which gets us back to Moses again. We've learned about his history, his past, just a few minutes ago. Let's look at the special position that he held. So while the gap was enormous, God loves his people too much to leave that chasm open with no way to cross it. He chose and used Moses to bridge that gap, to be the mediator, to stand in the place of the people, to be God's messenger, prophet, and priest. With no Moses, the people would have had no access to God. Without Moses, the bridge across the gap could never have been built. Moses was given this position in Exodus 3, at the burning bush, and we see God using Moses as a mediator, particularly in verse 9. In Exodus 19:9, it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'I am going to come to you in a dense cloud so that the people will hear me speaking with you, and they will always put their trust in you.' Then Moses told the Lord what the people had said." Moses, chosen by God out of an insane love for his people. God chose Moses to stand in the gap and was a mediator between God and man. The people of Israel would have been lost without Moses. They were unable to bridge that gap between God and man. While Moses did his job pretty well, he was far from perfect. Think back to Moses' story that we recapped just at the beginning. He murdered an Egyptian. And then he ran for the hills to escape punishment. And he was no knight in shining armor when he came back either. Remember, he argued with God. He didn't want the job. He tried to get out of the task that God gave him. Nor, again, this is an allusion to the weird story, nor did he take the command that God gave him for the whole family thing. I'm not going to say too much. He didn't take that very seriously either. It nearly cost him his life. And then, a little bit later on in the story, he gets so angry that he literally smashes the Ten Commandments that God had actually just given to him. He was far from perfect. But God chose him to do the work of a mediator. It's only because God chose him and used him in this position that the Israelites were released from slavery in Egypt and led through the wilderness and eventually into the promised land. Moses, despite his imperfections and flaws, was chosen by God to mediate between him and the nation of Israel. As a prophet and a leader, Moses played a crucial role in guiding the Israelites and conveying God's laws. Why does this matter to us today? Because like the Israelites, we're often rebellious and struggled to uphold God's commands, we too are fundamentally flawed and unable to approach God on our own. While not literal slaves to another nation like Egypt, we are bound by the shackles of sin. The chasm between mankind and God is still there. Like we explored before, the gap is enormous and unbridgeable on our own. Like the nation of Israel, you and I are still sinful, still unable to cross that gap on our own. We need a Moses too. The only thing is, Moses is long dead by now. What then are we to do? Allow me to ask the same two questions of us that I asked about God when he closed the gap with the people of Israel. Why does he do it? Why does God want to bridge that gap to us in our sinfulness? And then secondly, how does he do it? Because of the people's sin, they could not approach God. God chose and used Moses as a mediator. Who does he use today? Let's look at the why first. It's the same reason that God bridged the gap in Exodus. And that reason is love. God's immense love for his people caused him to reach out and bridge that gap between him, the perfect, sinless God, and us, the fallen, sinful people. He loves his people, that's you and that's me, so much that he came down from heaven, not to a mountain in the wilderness, but onto the earth. Which leads us to the question of how. How does God bridge that gap? So we know he loves us. How does he bridge this gap now? Moses is long dead and gone. Who is our mediator today? Sunday school answer. Jesus Christ. Jesus, God's own son, is our perfect mediator. He bridged the gap. God, in his infinite love and mercy, bridged it for us. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be the mediator, to stand in the gap and to reconcile us to himself. Through Christ's sacrifice, the insurmountable distance between us and God is closed, and we are brought near to him. Unlike Moses, who mediated imperfectly, Jesus Christ, the perfect Son of God, serves as the ultimate mediator, our ultimate mediator. His mediation is not based on our efforts or our adherence to the law, but on his grace and his sacrifice. Through Jesus, the immense distance between a holy God and sinful humanity is perfectly bridged, offering reconciliation and eternal life. Jesus makes what seemed impossible, possible, closing that gap and bringing us into a restored relationship with God. Having seen and understood the sheer enormity of the holiness of God and the gap that stands between us and him, and understanding that Jesus made that perfect bridge across the gap for us with his death and sacrifice on the cross and resurrection from the dead, if you'd live with this knowledge and understanding of what Jesus did for you, how can we not stop and be in wonder of who God is? His immense love for us, his no holds barred, stop at nothing, relentless pursuit to bridge that gap that we place between us and him with our sin. He has made a way for us to know him, to live with him. If you don't know who this Jesus guy is or what this whole idea of being separated from God because of your sin is about, I hope you're deeply considering what it is that's been said this morning. The God of the universe, the God who created you, wants a relationship with you. It doesn't matter how bad you've been or who you are, God loves you and desires a relationship with you. So much so that he gave his son for you to bridge that gap. That gap that sin put between us and God. No one else can bridge that gap between God and man. It has to be Jesus. And if you're thinking that gap between God and me is simply just too big, maybe like I did, you spent years or decades actively digging it deeper. Years and years of secret, hidden bad stuff in your life. That if God really knew what I'd be like, he wouldn't really love me. He would not want me. Or maybe you used to think, maybe like I used to think too, that God's love couldn't possibly reach me. I'm so far from the good person, you know, God wants me to be. He couldn't possibly want me. Maybe in your mind, God builds a bridge to you, and upon finding out, or you fear that he might build the bridge to you, and then upon finding out who you really are, he quickly demolishes it so you can't get across. Or perhaps you think, well, I'm a good person. The chasm between me and God isn't all that big. I can just hop over at my leisure. Sorry, but no. You are sinful. I don't want to crush you with guilt, but the Bible is crystal clear on this. All fall short of the glory of God. We all have sinned and gone astray. So if you think you're pretty neat, clean and tidy, sorry, but you're kidding yourself. Sin is a part of every single one of our lives. This sin, when stood next to God's holiness, causes an uncrossable chasm. So thinking you're too far gone for God is simply wrong. God loves you. He knows you, warts and all. This makes his love for you all the more amazing, despite knowing all your flaws. How big, wide and rotten the chasm is between us and him, he still made a way. Jesus Christ made that bridge, and it is there for you to cross. To be with God, to live a life with God here and now and for eternity. Or maybe you think you can just sort of jump across the chasm whenever you need to by being good or not recognizing the sin in your life. This leads me to believe, at least, that you just do not grasp the sheer holiness of God. He is the purest, holiest, grandest being to ever exist and to ever, ever exist ever in the future. Compared to him, our best efforts are nothing. Compared to his holiness, our best deeds are filthy and tainted. I don't want to crush people with guilt, but grasping the splendor and holiness of God should reveal just how sinful and in need of him we are. Jesus Christ made a way for everyone who believes to be made right with God. Jesus Christ made the bridge that we so desperately need, and we can cross it. No matter who we are, no matter what we have done. This is the message of the gospel. This is what makes life worth living. To wrap this up, allow me to summarize what we've talked about this morning. In Exodus, we saw, because of God's immense love for his people, God rescues his people, brings them out of slavery and to Mount Sinai. God uses Moses to prepare the people for the arrival of the king, the arrival of their God. And despite the enormous gap that sin placed between God and his people, God bridges that gap with Moses as a mediator. And he has done the same for you and me. Because of his immense love for you and me, despite the gap that sin has put between us and God, he rescues us from slavery to sin. He sent Jesus, his own son, to stand perfectly in that gap. He did this by coming to earth to sacrifice himself on the cross to conquer sin, and then defeating death in the resurrection, in his resurrection from the dead. All of this is because God loves you. I don't want to outline a list of things that you now must go and do or things you need to change as a result of hearing this today. If you're a Christ follower and you know this gospel message is a reality and a truth for you, I think you would do well to simply be in awe of the goodness of God. The gap that sin created was unbridgeable for us. We could never have done it. But God did it for us. This is such a good thing for us. We can live a life not free from sin, but free from the guilt of sin, forgiven, loved, accepted as God's child. Everything life throws at a Christian, be it good, bad, or ugly, cannot change the fact that we are forgiven sinners who have had Jesus Christ cross the chasm for them. And what a blessing this is. I can't even begin to explain fully or even a tiny bit how good this is. Praise God. And if this is all new to you, or maybe you've heard it all before, and today the reality and seriousness seems to be hitting you, don't push it aside. Embrace it. Ponder on it. Talk to God about it. Chat to me. Chat to Etienne. Or the person that you came here with or someone you trust. The message of Christ, bridging the gap of sin, is the best news ever. He bridges that gap made by sin so that we can be in a relationship with God. Do you want to change your life here and now and for eternity? The God of the universe made a bridge across the chasm of sin. Take a step, cross that bridge from this day forth. Love and trust him with your life. Let's pray. God, help us to stop now and to stop often to marvel at your holiness, splendor, and love. Help us to remember and appreciate the incredible gap that our sin has created and the amazing way that Jesus bridged it. We're so thankful for the chance to have a relationship with you because of what Jesus did. As we've seen the significance of Moses as mediator and the reality of the gap that existed, we ask that you deepen our understanding of the incredible gift we have in Christ. Help us to live in light of this truth, embracing the call to share the hope of the gospel with those around us. And for those of us who might still be unsure or need to talk more about this, please guide us. Please put people in our paths that can encourage us and show us what a life following Christ is about. Lord, you are so good. Thank you for bridging the gap. Your love is abounding. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to finish with a song now called Living Hope. It's all about the great chasm that lays between us. So thanks, music team.
Please stand and join us as we sing Living Hope.